So, I've been around churches for a long time. When I was born, my family attended a church, and I have either been attended or worked in churches my entire life. And so, unlike some of you who maybe have not experienced more than one or two churches, I have experienced a great deal of churches. And they are all unique, just like individuals. But yet, in some ways, they are all similar. And one of the things that I've always found fascinating is that there's usually someone in every church. I don't think they're here, by the way. At least somebody over here caught that. Thank you. They're not here. But there's always someone who has all the answers, right? They're the one who knows Scripture backwards and forwards. They can, and any solution that comes up, man, they've got that quick answer of exactly how to fix a problem. They got a quick answer to understand this very difficult subject. I've spent a great deal of my life studying, praying, and one of the things that I found is that the deeper I go with God, the more I talk to and about God, the more I realize the mystery of God grows each time. It's not so much that I'm able to wrap my hands around God and get it all God figured out. But every time I think I do, God shows me something new and something different, and the mystery comes alive. The last few weeks, we've talked about some things in the Old Testament that make us a little bit uncomfortable. We talked about Abraham's attempt to sacrifice his son Isaac, that God stops at the last minute. That makes us feel uncomfortable. Last week, we talked about how God showed grace and love to the scoundrel Jacob, who did nothing but cheat everyone else, and it makes us uncomfortable. But that's sort of the mystery of our God. The one key thing that keeps coming out over and over in all these stories is grace. God's grace. Well, today, we want to talk about Moses. Now, Moses, as if you remember the story or the movie, whichever you want, Moses was born during a time when Pharaoh made a decree to kill all the baby boys. So his mother didn't want to kill him, didn't want him to be killed. So with the help of his older sister, she put him in a wicker basket and set him adrift on the river. The Pharaoh's daughter saw the little baby in the basket, felt sorry for the baby, adopted the baby, and took the baby Moses into her home and raised Moses in Pharaoh's court. Moses grew up a rich young man in Pharaoh's court. Then at some point in his growing up, he's wandering around Egypt, as young princes would do, and he sees that all of the building in Egypt is being done by these slaves, these Hebrew slaves. Now, we don't know at this point whether Moses understands himself to be a Hebrew or not. It's a little unclear because he was a very small child when he was brought into Pharaoh's court and raised that way. He looked like an Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. Come on. He talked like an Egyptian. So for all practical purposes, he was an Egyptian. But then one day he sees one of these Hebrew slaves being mistreated by another Egyptian. And he says, "Don't do that." Well, the Egyptian gets mad at him. They get a little rough. And Moses kills him. He kills the Egyptian, trying to help the Hebrew slave. Moses figures out, well, that probably don't look too good on my record, so he scoots it out of town. Then Moses ends up in Midian, where he meets his eventual father-in-law, Jethro. But when he first arrives, he comes to a well, and there are some young women who have sheep who are trying to get their sheep watered at the well, but these ruffians, these other men, abuse the women and keep them away from the well. Well, Moses comes up and runs off these mean shepherds and allows the women to let their sheep come to the well and drink. For his help, they invite him home. With them, he meets Jethro and eventually marries one of the shepherd girls. Then he gets a job with Jethro, his father-in-law, and runs his father-in-law's sheep, and he's out in the field. He's out in the field all by himself. And all of a sudden he sees this burning bush. A bush that's burning but not consumed. And I love the understatement with which the Bible says he believed he should turn aside and see what was there. I'm like, holy smoke! Get it? Holy smoke? It's a bush that's burning and not consumed. But Moses runs over and, or walks over and looks at the bush, and then the bush starts talking. Now, first of all, this has got to be freaking Moses out, right? So you've got a bush, you've got a voice, and he says, take off your sandals, you're on holy ground. And Moses does. He says, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here I am. God says, I've heard the cries of my people. I want to rescue them. Moses says, good for you. Then God says, Moses, I want you to be the one who leads my people and goes to Pharaoh. Okay, can we back that up one step and let's maybe brainstorm this a minute? We'll get a whiteboard. We'll have some ideas. Nobody's idea is bad. We're going to see, because, you know, I'm probably not the best guy for this job. And he proceeds to have an argument with God about doing what God asked. This is a God who's talking out of a bush that's burning, that's not being consumed. So that's where Moses is. He tells God, I can't do it. I don't talk well. He's making up any excuse he can think of not to have to do what God wants him to do. It's a very fascinating story. Most of you know what happens next, right? You know the story. Moses eventually goes back to Egypt and helps lead the people out. But the miracle of the burning bush is our passage today. I want to tell you something. The miracle of the burning bush is not the pyrotechnics. The miracle of the burning bush is that a human being had a conversation with God, the creator of the universe, that God initiated. Think about that. God didn't command Moses. He didn't threaten to smite Moses. He didn't coerce Moses. He appeared to Moses and talked to Moses and even argued with Moses. That's the miracle of the burning bush. The Creator God wanted to be in conversation with the creation. The writer of Hebrews talks about this a little differently. Through Christ, the writer says, we can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive God's mercies. For us, unlike Moses, God doesn't have to use the miracle of a burning bush or the pyrotechnics to get our attention. Though some of us it might be helpful. God, through Christ, has already reached out to us and wants to have the conversation with us. God's not going to coerce us. God doesn't want to threaten us. Or smite us. Don't you just love the word smite? It's a good Old Testament word. God doesn't want to smite us into submission. God wants to have a conversation with us because God wants to do something. You know, if you think about it, God doesn't need Moses if God wants to free the Israelites from the Egyptians. God doesn't need Moses. God could smite the Egyptians. But God chose to work through God's creation to make God's purposes happen. Just like Moses, We have the chance to be in conversation with God. Listen to God. Get involved in what God wants to do, because God wants to use each and every one of us. And just like Moses, we're going to all have excuses. I don't speak well. I'm too old. I'm too young. Whatever it is, God's heard them all. I want you to walk away today remembering this. That yes, there are things to do. Moses fought injustice his whole life. From killing the Egyptian, he was fighting an injustice against the Israelite slave. He fought injustice when he walked up to the well and saw women being oppressed. And he fought injustice when he led the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses did all of these things. But when God said you wanted to work with him, Moses said, I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know that I'm capable of that. I don't think that I have the skill set for that. But God talked to him, and God argued with him. And that's the miracle of the burning bush, is this, that God wants to communicate with you. And God wants to make God's purposes happen through you. This is a poignant thing for us as believers. It's part of the incarnation. It's why Jesus became fully human, to recognize that we are now here, God's vessels to be used. In just a few minutes, we're going to take communion together. The body and blood of Christ for us helps us become the body of Christ for the world. That's the miracle of the burning bush, that God wants to be in communication with little old us. The miracle that we get to do every day is have a conversation with God. Sometimes it's about mundane things. Please, Lord, let that child sleep through the night. Please, Lord, help me get through this next day of work. Please, Lord, I need a new job. Please, Lord, there are all kinds of things that we talk to God about, that we have the privilege, the miracle to talk to God about. And I think sometimes we forget to listen. We forget to listen to what God wants us to hear. We don't see what God wants us to see. So remember, we can be thankful that things are different than they were with Moses. Moses was born into a land where the leader wanted the foreigners killed. Moses was born into a land where people were oppressed and enslaved. We can be thankful that, unlike Moses, we weren't born at a time like that. But when we talk to God, we might just hear God say that God has heard the cries of the people who are oppressed around us. God may open our eyes to see things differently. That's the miracle of the burning bush. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.